Today is what is typically celebrated as Epiphany, the Sunday after Epiphany, I guess, is how it's phrased. The text that I've chosen is not the normal text for Epiphany. It's a book which is in Romans. But for a moment, I'd like to maybe talk about Epiphany for a moment. Epiphany is spelled with a capital E. Epiphany with a small e is used when someone has an epiphany, which basically what it is that, oh wow, you know, a sudden thought comes upon you and you begin to understand something, or you begin to realize something, or whichever the case may be. But in this case here, it was with a capital E, and there's a significant difference. It is a Greek term. It is written, I believe, in the second chapter of Timothy. It is mentioned. The term is mentioned. So it is biblical. Typically on Epiphany Sunday, or the Sunday after the day of Epiphany, which always falls on the 6th of January, because it's 12 days after Christmas. The typical text is, there's actually two of them. There's one about the Magi, or the baptism of Christ. The term Epiphany, literally means, gotta stop and think about how the term that they use, revealed, or there's another term also, I can't think of it now. Thought of it over many times this morning, but I can't. But the point is that it is the revelation of Christ. It is the Christ being revealed. Now, in the case of the Magi, who traveled, they saw the star, they traveled from distant lands to view the Christ child. There's nothing written about why they did it. There's nothing written about who told them to do it. But they did it. And as I thought of this morning, I started thinking, you know, God's plans are so thorough and so complete and so without consequences, if you will, or without, well, gee, you know, I'm glad that happened because I hadn't planned. No, there's none of that. His plans are complete. And in looking at it, so often we think, okay, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born to the Jewish people so that he could bring them the good news. But you see, God's plan went beyond that. God's plan went for that good news to entirely cover the earth, both Jewish and Gentile. The Magi were Gentile people. They were Gentile rulers or wise men, if you will. Who were the first ones to view the Christ child? It was the shepherds, Jewish people. But right after that came the Magi, Gentiles, who saw Christ, who saw their salvation. God had a plan, and he put it into effect. He put it in immediately into play, if you will. He put it in such a way that the world would know. And these people went back to whatever their homeland was, it never tells us, but they had something to report. They saw the salvation of the world. God's plan is never, never without him knowing how it's going to end. And we can take comfort with that because we know and trust in what he has done and what he is going to do and what he has instilled in the hearts of men. Because he is complete. He is God. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the 6th chapter of Romans. And the first 11 verses, verse 1 through 11. That's Romans chapter 6. And reading it with this thought in mind, that what it talks about here is the very reason for our salvation to come upon this earth. The very reason for Jesus to have been here. So we read these words in Jesus' name. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through them, and that we would leave from here rejoicing over what you have done for us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some faiths. I've run into one, a fellow that I knew quite well. And we had a conversation one day, and I don't know, I can't even tell you how it came about, but what was said was that once saved, always saved is not saved. Because you cannot confess your sins, you cannot confess your inadequacies, and you cannot trust in the Savior, and then turn and go and live as you lived before. Go in a way that you continue to sin and you continue to do what you did before you came to know who Christ was. I told this individual that there is no salvation in that. Once saved, always saved means that you have now got to walk a different road. And his comment to me was, well, I guess I ain't going to make it. You see, people trust in that at times because they want to be able to play both sides of the street. I'm going to believe in this Jesus. I'm going to accept him, but I don't want to give up my old life. It's not going to happen. The Apostle Paul here, in writing to the Romans, says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he forcefully, in the studies that I looked at, he forcefully said, no. God forbid. how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? And then he goes on, he says, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Well, I didn't die on a cross. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is that because of Christ's death, our sin, our lifestyle, what we did believe and live in, because we believe and trust in him and know that he is our salvation, that is dead. And Christ's death took that away. Christ's death took the sin that we had been living in. Christ's death gave us that hope for eternal salvation because we believe in what he had done and believe in what he has done for us. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are buried with him by baptism into death. That baptism, and I just really like the way Martin Luther states it in the Catechism. It is the visible means of bestowing God's invisible grace. Think on those words. We are visibly seeing God bestowing his grace upon that one who is being baptized. Whether it be a child, an adult, whatever it happens to be, whatever the circumstances are, God's grace is being bestowed upon that person or that individual. The visible means of bestowing God's invisible grace. And that grace is so complete and so thorough. I'd like to look in 1 Peter chapter 4, just the first verse. He says this, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So what mind? The mind of Christ. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Think on that for a moment. Do I suffer in the flesh? Can't say that I really do a whole lot. But why? Because I have trusted in salvation. Now that's not to say, and I am not even suggesting that Satan doesn't come. And when I look at it from that perspective, it's not a physical suffering so much as it is a spiritual or mental, however you want to phrase it. Because Satan can come and boy, he can start attacking and he won't let go at times. And it gets to the point where you just become so weak, I guess maybe I could call it. You get to the point where you just become so down and you just continually cry out to God to take it away, to push him aside, to make him go away so that I don't have to endure this, because I trust in you and what you have done. I trust in my salvation is through you, and I trust that. And I don't ever want to let go of it. And it does happen. He does make him stop. He does make him go away. And we can pick up from that point and continue to worship and praise our Savior for what he has done. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I like that word planted. It's different than verse 4. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. But here in verse 5, he says, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Jesus talked about the grain of wheat, that unless it's put into the ground and dies, it's not going to produce anything. We have also got to be put into the ground. We have got to be planted, and we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to that point and know that it, what I am, what I was, and how I lived is not good. And when you come to that point and begin to understand who he was and what he has done for you, then you are together with him. And you are in that likeness of his death, to where that sin has been taken care of because you've trusted in him. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Think on that. His resurrection. We will be raised from the dead. In a sense, maybe you could even say that we are raised from the dead. We are raised from that sinful portion that we lived in. We are raised up on that level of salvation because we trust in Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse, and it's very familiar, I know. But I don't think there's one of us that have not turned to a familiar verse at any given time to read it over again and draw strength from it. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's how we are. We have been crucified with Christ, but we live because Jesus lives with us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. It's not my life. It is that life that God has given me because of the faith that I have, who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. God gave himself in the form of his Son, so that we could have that hope, so that we could have that assurance because of what he has done for us, we can one day be with him. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So often I've heard people say, well, yeah, I believe in Christ, but how come I keep having all these thoughts and fall into sin? And we're human. It's going to happen. Do we want it to? No, absolutely not. We don't want it to happen. But we're living in this flesh. And there are times and circumstances that we just do things that we don't want to. And yet Jesus is right there, sitting on God's right hand. And God, because of Jesus being there and sitting there, God forgives us. We are forgiven. Now that we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall be also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. We don't have any death to be concerned with. We have the physical death, of course. I mean, that's for each man to, or each person to come to. But we do not have to die in our sins. We do not die in our sins because of what Christ has done for us. And we can sing those praises and glory to him because he loved us that much that we do not have to fear death, the physical death. Because we know where our salvation lies. And we know where we will be when God calls everybody home and he puts a stop to all this that's going on. When he says enough, it will stop. For in that he died unto sin once. It's that one time. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's that term there where he says that in the latter part of the 10th and the 11th verse, but in that he lives unto God. And then the latter part of the 11th verse, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In another translation, the term devoted is put into there. When a person is devoted to somebody, that means that they are there and serve them. They're devoted to them. They love them. And they continue to do what is expected of them. They continue to go out and help others because of the one that they're devoted to. And they continue to have love and compassion for all of those who do not know who the Savior is. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he is devoted unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but devoted unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our only salvation and our only way. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen.